Hey everybody, welcome to J&J on Jazz, powered by Jazzwire. This is my friend James, and James used to date a figure skater.
I did. I just found out that Jeff used to be a figure skater.
I used to be a figure skater. Here's the thing, the figure skaters in these stories, totally different people. Moving on. All right, we want to talk to you guys about articulation today, but we can get into figure skating a little bit later. Articulation. I want James to start off. And now, as the serious pros we are, we never discuss what we're going to talk about, whether we're going to vehemently disagree or say the same thing. So I'm interested in your take on jazz articulation. James, go.
Okay. So, yes to jazz articulation. That's it. That's my take. Just yes, we should
All
do
right.
it.
All right. Well, I agree. Thank you for watching.
Take care. See you inside Jazzwire. Yeah, I as a trumpet player, I think all trumpet players have a very personal approach to jazz articulation. All horn players do, for that matter, and non-horn players, right? So for me, I want to think about jazz articulation in two very distinct ways. And we talked a little bit about this in our episode when we were dealing with, like, feel, right? And how articulation can impact feel. So a real basic thing that I still practice all the time is to incorporate basic jazz trumpet articulation into maybe fairly boring technical studies, things that we do all the time, but really focus on tongue in the offbeats for eighth notes, slurring into the downbeats, making sure that it's very legato, but that it has a nice kind of drive and accent when I am tonguing. So I'm going to play... This is from the trumpet land. This is Clark's second technical study. All the trumpet players out there will know this one. So I'm really going to focus in on smooth approach, but really accenting those offbeats.
As a figure skater, I used to accent the offbeats quite a bit, just saying.
And you would make little chips in the ice that hockey players like me would stumble over. Here's Clark's second study, jazz articulation. One more time. Now you'll notice that I'm playing those fairly even, right? I'm not really trying to swing them at that tempo. I'm playing them pretty straight, and I'm really focusing on those accents, because what I want to be able to do is play that with the same level of consistency and cleanliness fast, like this.
Now, here's the thing. Inside Jazzwire, a lot of students will hear that kind of playing and go, oh my God, how are they tonguing so fast? Is that double tonguing? And the answer is, that was really quite slow tonguing, because you're only tonguing every other note, right? Do da da da. So at that tempo, play it again for us. Do it one more time.
At that tempo, at the up tempo?
At that tempo, same tempo. Yep.
You got it. Here we go.
So here's how fast James was tonguing. Da 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 do da 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 da. So that was it. Da 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 da. Those are like slow eighth notes or fast quarter notes. So the tongue was not moving that fast, but it was highly coordinated with the offbeats, right? Am I saying, is that making sense, James?
You are correct. Yeah, and there's one little addition to this, if I can. The other thing that I like to work on, we've talked about this in a couple episodes ago. Different players have different approaches to articulation. What I think of as standard jazz articulation is just what we've been talking about. Da-da-ya-da-ya-da-ya-da-ya. Tongue in every other note. But in practice, that's not always how it goes, right?
Right.
So some trumpet players, at least, are tonguing more notes than they're slurring. Clifford Brown comes to mind. We've talked about him in past episodes. So if I want to shift that from the more standard approach to a Clifford Brown approach, I'll slow it down, you'll hear that I'm actually going to be tonguing more notes. And we'll write this down and show you what the articulations are, but you'll hear the difference. Here's the Clifford Brown approach. At that tempo, doesn't sound like jazz at all, right? Pretty right. Square. I'm actually going ta-ta-ya, ta-ta-ta-ya, ta-ta-ta-ya. But if I play it at that up-tempo, sounds like this. To me, that sounds very yep. Clifford Brown-esque. And at that tempo, ta-ta-ya, ta-ta-ta-ya, ta-ta-ta-ya, that actually swings, right? So I work on that stuff every day.
Well, when people hear that, I mean, that sounds like some weird, you know, fanfare that we would hear, you know, without the ride cymbal and the swinging bass. But at tempo, that is ridiculously swinging, right? So it's very interesting to hear it out of context and to hear how straight and precise it is, which we may have a hard time holding in our head with swinging like mad, too. Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Yeah, so that's what I got. Dying to hear what a saxophone player is going to say about this.
Exactly the same damn thing. Like, honestly, that is exactly what I was going to say, is the offbeat articulation is kind of where it's at. And now, we mentioned Jazzwire earlier, so I just want to tell you people, I talked to a couple folks recently, like, man, you know, come on into Jazzwire. And they said, I don't have a lot of time. You are in the middle of watching a YouTube video of two knuckleheads talking about articulation. You've got time on your hand. Yes, I'm talking to you, sir. Yes, you, ma'am. You're watching YouTube videos. What about if you actually did something like with focus and direction and personal, right? So yeah, that whole, I don't really have time to invest in myself. I love music, but I don't really want to invest in becoming any good. Well, okay. So we would love to see you inside Jazzwire. So come in, take a look around for 1 week free and see what we can really get going for you there. Offbeat articulation, man. I agree with absolutely everything you said. And this was a big deal for me when I sort of learned about that offbeat articulation. And yeah, if I play it on the saxophone, I'll do it with a bebop scale. That's it. That's the sound, right? And I loved when James was doing it, how exaggerated he was being with the offbeat articulation, like how loud he was or how hard he was hitting it, and then how far down he was coming on the onbeat note. So it was loud, soft, that alternating. James was careful to say it's legato. A lot of people make the mistake of sort of snapping some of the notes off and it becomes really ricky-ticky sounding.
Yeah.
So So there's, you know, so this is a good thing to work on with a coach. And again, this is the kind of stuff I work on every day with folks inside Jazzwire, is getting the feel really good. People think you have to be born with feel, and you know, that's ridiculous. It's very, very tied to technique. Some people have an aptitude for feel. They have an aptitude for this technique, but yeah, it needs to be developed. So I love that. So, you know, James, one of the things I tell students when they're doing this is to do what you did and what I just iterated, was to be very, very obvious with those louds and softs. Mm-hmm. That's hard to do, to go from 80 miles an hour to 15 miles an hour, to 80 miles an hour to 15 miles an hour with the volume of those notes. But that air control and that, you know, all of that, that's where it's at. So I have my students do that for weeks, often months, like super exaggerated, because when we start speeding it up, we can't be so exaggerated, but the feel has to be there. So I like people to do very exaggerated articulation, because we can always dial it back later. If we do subtle articulation and now we speed the tempo up, it goes away and we've got nothing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I love the way that it's really intentional, because it's got to be automatic, folks. I mean, these are things that when you're playing lines in a tune, you know, when you're improvising, you can't be thinking about, now, where am I in my articulation stream of these eighth notes? Am I supposed to be tonguing this downbeat or slurring this? All those things, like, you, it has to be automatic. And at least for brass players, the instrument will start to get in the way of that sort of just da-da-ya-da-ya-da-ya-da-ya. It'll get in the way of that, and you'll end up breaking that rule, so to speak, very intuitively if you're playing two notes in a row that are on the same valve. I know you saxophone players don't have to mess with that as much. We sure do. So but by slowing it down, it makes that part of it automatic and intuitive. And I also want to say that when I was hearing you play that bebop scale at tempo, man, the amount of accuracy, it was still smooth. I mean, to me, it's like when I hear the great tenor players, like Sonny Stitt, for example, is somebody whose articulation to me is just like, it's like it's automatic without being mechanical, but it's so precise and it's so insistent. And that's what makes his lines some of my favorite. And I really heard that when you were just playing that scale, Jeff. To me, it was like, that sounds like Sonny Stitt. He's so precise with that stuff. So seek out players who are great examples of this. Seek those players out and really steal that feel and sound from them.
I love it. And, you know, I trust my articulation to clean up my technique, frankly, right? Like if my fingers, you know, sometimes on the saxophone, I'm moving six or seven fingers to get to the next note. And if it's not precise, that can, you know, the instrument doesn't like that. The instrument wants precision. And no, I'm not perfect. I'm not always precise. But the articulation sort of quantizes things. It like puts the note into a slot, I feel like. So when my technique isn't perfect, my articulation can give it that illusion. And so I'm all about the illusion of knowing what I'm doing.
Well, here's an interesting difference. On the trumpet, from my standpoint, actually, and this is why I still have to spend time practicing what maybe might be thought of as traditional or classical articulation, when my fingers and tongue, my tongue won't quantize a line. If my fingers get ahead of my tongue, the whole thing just falls apart. If my tongue gets ahead of my fingers, no way. So it has to line up perfectly, and it actually makes it a lot harder, I think. But then again, I'm not moving seven fingers to get to one note. As much as I think the saxophone players have it easier sometimes, I wouldn't be up. Three's enough for me. I'm fine. So that's
a lot of digit flapping. There. Just saying, digit flapping. That's the technical term. Well, so this was an interesting episode because, you know, when we started J&J, really my reasoning was who's someone that I'd like to fight with once a week. And I thought James Moore, of course, James, right? And let's not plan this stuff out and let's see if we disagree on some things or have a different approach. The interesting thing is we're like 12, 14 videos in, and it's rare that we're not on exactly the same page, right? And you and I don't have a ton of playing history together.
Right.
So that's really interesting. So, I mean, that tells me that there is a path to learning this music. It is codified. There aren't 47 different ways to articulate, right?
Exactly.
And on different instruments too. So again, that's what makes a place like Maryland Summer Jazz or Jazzwire work, is this stuff is tried and true. We've been teaching this stuff and had to learn it ourselves and learned it wrong 10 different ways and got it correctly after that. So, yeah, man, this was interesting. I thought we were going to have two approaches, but we just dug deeper into one approach. So, beautiful.
I love it. I love it. Well, I'll tell you, man. one thing we do disagree on, Jeff, is the worth relative to hockey of figure skating. And I don't care how many NHL defensemen have taken figure skating lessons. Nope. Sorry. There's a big old red line between hockey and figure skating, and I will not cross it, sir. I will not cross it. So,
well, okay. Let's, you know, I'll just fill you in on my reasoning. So when I was playing hockey, I was surrounded by like sweaty adolescent boys, right? When I was doing figure skating,
you
guess what? There were 21 of us and I was the one guy. So just saying, James, Jeff, who kind of understood things a little finer detail when they were 14? Just
respect. All
right. Let's just leave it there. Respect. I'm going to take it and I'm going to run. Have a good day, everybody. Take care.
Keep swinging, everybody. We'll see y'all later.